And thanks as well to our first guest who joins us from down in Eagan in the Twin Cities. It is Sana Mehring, who is the creator of and CEO of Caring Bridge. Sana, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here.
First of all, I got to tell you, it is really an honor to have you on the program. I suppose there are anybody who hasn't heard of Caring Bridge, and you, in fact, are the creator. It's an honor to have you on the program, particularly for something that's such a great idea. And I know that you started it in 1997. How did you come up with the idea for Caring Bridge?
Well, thank you very much for those kind words. And a lot of people in the North Shore know about Caring Bridge, but it isn't well known all over the nation. And I think you still need to reach everybody, even up in the North Shore. But I'd love to tell you the story. So it was back in the mid-90s, and like most great ideas, most good things in life, it comes out of a personal experience. And what happened is two very good friends of mine were midway through their pregnancy and really developed some life-threatening conditions, both for the unborn child but also for the mom, and were isolated in the hospital. And they turned to me and said, can you tell everybody, let everybody know what's going on? And I said, of course I will, and turned around and thought, how am I going to do that? And I turned to my old friend, technology. Technology has always been a real passion of mine and always really used technology, especially around the Internet, for years. And so what I did is I created a website. I always like to say the same night their baby Bridget was born, that first Caring Bridge site was born, and it instantly brought everybody together, both by letting them know what was going on, but even the very first Caring Bridge site had that aspect of community and leaving messages of support and sharing pictures. And it became just such a wonderful experience that it was kind of a wow event in everybody's life that really meant that this needed to be a service that was used for any type of serious health challenge.
Now, at that point in time, you must have had a lot of foresight because, quite frankly, in the mid-90s, even in 97, the Internet was not exactly a real going concern. That was just kind of in its infancy as well.
It was, and what's interesting, Bob, is I actually had a consulting business at the time, very successful because I was making websites for small business and media design business. Understanding that everybody needed to have a web presence. I bet, you know, I know WTIP has a website and, you know, does probably simulcast right now. And where technology and the Internet was going, I did recognize very early its ability to connect anybody anywhere.
So you created these two original sites for your friends. That's
yes.
Cool. But at what point in time did you say, wait a minute, this, and how did other people get connected so that they were willing to say, can you do this for me, or can I do this?
Well, you know, the baby Bridget struggled. Her life was a short 9 days, and it was the peaks and valleys throughout those 9 days that were just a really powerful event. The mom, Joanne, also was part of the first Caring Bridge site. And at the memorial service for Bridget, we just realized how impactful this was on helping everybody. And it really became a passion of mine. I thought, well, I could do this, you know, quote unquote, on the side. again, I'm a technology kind of geek, and so I just created the Caring Bridge service, very similar to what you see today, and supported it on the side, and it organically grew. I say it's probably good I wasn't a marketer in the beginning because I didn't try to oversell it. I literally just put it out there, and people began to use it when they needed it. So especially in the Twin Cities area, in the greater Minnesota area, in the Midwest area now, it very much is a national and worldwide presence that anybody going through a serious health event should turn to Caring Bridge as a way to keep everybody up to date and bring that community of support together. So it was very serendipitous of how it continued to grow. It's been a really interesting personal journey. But it has really grown from that one baby Bridget to hundreds of thousands of communities created, bringing millions of people. In the last 12 months, we've had 41 million individuals come and visit other Caring Bridge sites and, you know, being able to lend that support.
Well, in fact, I read or just mentioned on the air before we came on that in last year alone, 2009, you had, I believe it was 56,000 individual websites for people. And so it's kind of interesting. People actually found you rather than you having to tell people about it. But clearly from something that you were doing on the side, I want to remind our listeners that we're visiting with Sana Mehring. And I apologize. Am I pronouncing your first name
correctly? You are. I'm very impressed. You're doing a great job.
Because when I look at it, that's not how I want to say
it. No, it's not phonetically correct.
At any rate, you know, to go from something that you thought, well, I can do this, you know, on the side, to now having a staff of 30 people and a budget of over $5 million, it's clearly not something you're doing on the side anymore.
No, Caring Bridge, probably about 4 or 5 years into it, I had to make a choice. And you get out what you put in things. And it definitely was a calling for me, and knew it. I needed to dedicate myself full-time and build Caring Bridge so that we can help more people. Because it's, as you've known, you know people that use Caring Bridge, it's so impactful to the experience that we're a nonprofit, and we're really driven by that mission of bringing people's community care together when they need it most. And so that's been what we've been driven by, is let's have Caring Bridge be part of any serious health challenge that people are going through. It's just something that can connect someone either across the street or around the world.
I'm not, maybe I have a tendency to look at things with a somewhat jaundiced eye, but you just mentioned it's for people with a serious illness. Are there built-in restrictions? In other words, if I want to create a website for myself because I've got the flu and I want people to send me nice messages, or can you do it for anything?
You can do it for anything. I mean, we are really positioned around that it's for a more serious condition. But we do have a wide variety of things that people use Caring Bridge for. Usually it is something that's more serious. It's just the nature of that people need to find out what's going on. So, you know, Bob, if people are concerned that you have a code, you could create a Caring Bridge site, and if people wanted to visit you, they certainly could. So we don't restrict it in that way. We don't, you know, we don't check with your doctor kind of thing.
Bring a note home.
But where we see the real value is when people are you know, they get a cancer diagnosis, for example.
Sure. Well, now, you mentioned that it is a nonprofit, and yet you have a budget that's impressive at $5 million. Where does your funding come from, Sana?
Well, we are supported by the people that use Caring Bridge, both people, you know, like patients themselves, but their caregivers. But really, it's this broad reach of the visitors that are supporting not only the person that's going through this battle, but they also financially support Caring Bridge. I do liken it to, it's not a great analogy, but, you know, NPR, that's listener-supported. In a way, we're member-supported. We're mm-hmm. supported by the people that use Caring Bridge. And why that's so important to us is, from the very beginning, I knew this always needed to be a free service. I knew the last thing people needed is worrying about, is this a safe, trusted place to go?
Right.
Am I going to get ads? Are they going to realize I have cancer and all of a sudden an ad for something else will pop up? So really have kept it very a personal and private space that's available. And in those first few years where I was, quote-unquote, doing it on the side, a big frying pan over the head moment was when people actually started sending me donations, very unsolicited.
Uh-huh.
And so I realized, wow, this is a model that as long as we're providing a really valuable service, doing it in a safe, trusted way, people are going to support it through their own giving. And that's been a very successful model. We reach millions of people, and that's why the dollars and the vastness of it is supported.
I think you're right. I think if people believe they can trust you, they will then support it. I know, and I don't remember when it was or for whom or anything, but the first time that I somehow knew to go to check Caring Bridge, I was apprehensive because I thought,
sure.
Oh, wait a minute, you know.
You sound like a journalist.
No. But, you know, you kind of get the feeling of, you know, can't I just email my friend and find out from his family how they're doing? And then when you get on it and you realize, wow, this is just a fabulous way to stay connected and to check on the health of friends or the recovery or whatever's happening.
Right.
And you know, I don't get Facebook, but to me, it's kind of like Facebook for a serious illness, I guess, and that, you know, it's a way for the family or friends to be able to put out there how their loved one is doing and be able to receive those messages back. I know we've got a gentleman who is just a real cherished and loved member of the North Shore community who's very, very sick with leukemia.
Mm.
And on the message, his family said that he is just so loved. His wife every day reads him the new posts.
Yeah.
And I just thought that is so cool. You know, he gets to hear that in his final days.
Yeah. Yeah, people can be there even though they all can't be at his bedside. And leaving messages is so important. But even, you know, we track how many people go visit a site. And I'm sure his wife or, you know, loved ones tell him, you got 200 hits today.
Yeah.
And I always think of every one of those as a hug. You mentioned Facebook, and you're right. It is similar to Facebook is that it, because it connects people. Where it's really different than Facebook is our attitude, basically, around that it is a personal and private space. It's kind of a sacred space. It's a protected space. And it's also a really different conversation. Facebook is very much, I always say, it's for small talk versus kind of a deep, personal, supportive type environment. But I think Facebook has helped Caring Bridge tremendously because people are online. And if they're already online, there's one less barrier for them to even think of. I mean, if they're doing Facebook, there's no apprehensive, like you mentioned, about Caring Bridge.
Yeah, that's right. Do you have connection or, and I don't mean affiliation, but what kind of connections do you have or partnerships with the healthcare industry that are supportive of Caring Bridge?
Absolutely. That is really important for us because we need to make sure that people that are in a serious health condition, as we talk about, know about Caring Bridge, and where they're going to be that is at a hospital, at a clinic, and you know when they're talking to healthcare professionals. So we do a lot of very proactive outreach, partnering with hospitals, partnering with healthcare professionals to make sure they know about Caring Bridge and are recommending Caring Bridge. So, you know, most, especially in Minnesota, almost all hospitals are either sponsors or affiliated with Caring Bridge. They have our materials. We proactively, again, do that outreach to make sure that information about Caring Bridge is where it needs to be.
Are there any other, are there any other sites that are similar to that, similar to Caring Bridge?
You know, not really, Bob, and probably the closest one is Facebook, because it's you know, it's connecting your friends.
Sure.
There are a few hospitals that have done something on their own, but it kind of isolates it to that hospital. So there really isn't something like it, which I think bodes to health. And when people are talking about health, some of the for-profit type of models don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because it is a very serious conversation, and they know that to kind of monetize that is not going to work. So our model around as a nonprofit providing the service and being very, very mission-driven just worked very well.
Now, I see, looking at your website, and I assume that if somebody says, geez, you know, Uncle Harry is really sick, I'd like to be able to create one for him. It looks like that there's pretty easy instructions on the website as to how to do it. But I also saw that, for instance, now that you can get an app for your iPhone,
right?
That in fact, from your mobile phone, that you can connect. In fact, before long, we'll be able to post journal entries. You've gone in a few very short years, when you think about it, from two websites for two people who, you know, maybe were putting information out to maybe 100 people to 41 million people who have checked the site. Where do you go from here? How, you know, what happens with Caring Bridge as you go forward?
Well, what's interesting is even though we have those big numbers, there's some other numbers that really just drive us very passionately to continue to spread the word about Caring Bridge. And you mentioned at the top of our discussion that you don't know anybody that doesn't know about Caring Bridge. Well, unfortunately, that's not true everywhere. So if you think about some other numbers, just to toss numbers around, every day in the U.S., 4,000 people are diagnosed with cancer alone. All 4,000 of those people every single day could use Caring Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And about 200 people create a Caring Bridge site. So that's a pretty big unmet need in our eyes. So we want to make sure that, for example, every cancer patient or everyone that goes through a serious accident or heart surgery or a childhood disease at least knows about Caring Bridge and knows that that's a service that's available to them for free that they should try and use. So that's a big part of where we're driven, you know, in the next year or two of how can we continue to have awareness for Caring Bridge. So, you know, being on your radio show is a great avenue to be able to say, if you know anybody that's struggling with any type of, you know, serious health condition that you know is feeling isolated or needs to be able to communicate to the loved ones, tell them about Caring Bridge. You have it right. It's very easy to create a site. Within just a few minutes, you can have a site. And we constantly are updating to make sure that Caring Bridge is where and when people need it, i.e. on mobile devices, primarily of, you know, having an M site or having an iPhone app. Because when people know that Uncle Billy's in the hospital and they get a note to go check the Caring Bridge site, if they're on their phone, they can go get that. So we're very driven of closing that gap around the unmet need and continuing to be able to provide that where and how people need it.
We have been visiting with Sana Mehring. Sana is the founder and CEO. We're just about out of time, but I would like to mention also that obviously there has been recognition for you from the business community and all sorts of places. Last year you were named one of 25 women industry leaders in the Twin Cities by the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal. You received a congressional recognition. All very impressive. At any rate, it's Caring Bridge, and if you're interested in how it works or creating a site, go to caringbridge.org, and it's all there. And Sana, I want to thank you for two reasons, really. Number one, obviously for being with us this evening, but secondly, for creating this. I think it has made a huge difference in the lives of people. It has been able to allow people to stay connected at times that is often difficult to do, and I appreciate your passion.
Well, thank you, Bob, and I must say the North Shore is one of my favorite places. I'm envisioning Grand Marais right now, thinking about going to Angry Trout, thinking about hiking the Superior Trail. Love to go up there multiple times a year.
Wonderful.
And have listened to your show before.
Well, great. Well, you're welcome to stop in anytime, and have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Bob. You too.
Thank you.